Today's scripture comes from Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's choice, holy and loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be tolerant with each other, and if someone has a complaint against anyone, forgive each other. As the Lord forgave you, so also forgive each other. And over all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The peace of Christ must control your hearts, a peace into which you were called into one body, and be thankful people. The word of Christ must live in you richly. Teach and warn each other with all wisdom by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in speech or action, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and give thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Ray. This is our second message of two on love, love in marriage, loving relationships, and what we can do to make our marriages last a lifetime. And I just want to say that I know that a lot of this may not apply to you directly. Some of the things that we're talking about marriage and relationships with significant others and whatnot, may not apply to you, but I believe that there are principles in God's Word that kind of transcend whether we're talking about marriage or whether we're just talking about getting along with each other, with our neighbors and friends and co-workers and whatnot. But I've intentionally focused on marriage because, well, it's Valentine's Day, for one thing. We're talking about love. And we're talking about love and marriage, but we also are very sensitive to the fact that I know some of you are either going through nasty divorces, maybe dealing with infidelity, maybe dealing with financial stress on your marriage. And, you know, we get that, and we know that that is prevalent in our world today. And we just simply want to let you know that we love you, and we're doing everything we can to speak the truth in love. I think that's the overarching message here today and in these messages. So please bear with me. We are going to be dealing with some very difficult things today. It's not PG-13, but we are going to be talking a little bit about pornography today. Not in any great detail, but I do want to just kind of give you a heads up on that. If you have been married for any length of time, you have probably had an argument or a fight or a disagreement, a heated disagreement, with your significant other. If you have not, then there's something wrong with you. I'm speaking from 32 years of marriage experience, and I can tell you that no marriage is without a disagreement now and then. Yeah, it can be healthy. It can be healthy. It reminds me of the story of the couple that was sitting on the park bench, and he says to her, "You know, honey," says, "whenever you get mad at me, you never seem to get upset or lose your temper or lose control. How do you do that?" And she says, "Well, I go clean the toilet." "Clean the toilet? How in the world does that help?" She says, "I just use your toothbrush." "I've been hiding my toothbrush lately." Today I'm going to be sharing with you some very, very important helps, hopefully, that will help you. On the back of your bulletin, we've intentionally, every Sunday, we put a space for you to write down, take notes, and some things that you'd like to remember from this sermon. And I think there are some extremely important things that we need to remember today as it relates to our relationships. But before I want to go, I wanted to find out what you thought about what it means. How does your significant other, your husband or your wife, make you feel? How is your relationship, and what do they do? What kinds of things do they do to please you and to bless you? And I got many good responses again this week from the e-blast and the Facebook responses. One response was, "As a married woman that stays home to raise three kids, I feel loved when my husband helps me with chores and the kids, tells me how much he appreciates what I do for my family, and listens attentively to me when I need his support and advice." I think that's a great, great statement. Another one says, "He tells me every day that he loves me. He helps me with household chores in the kitchen, cooking and cleaning. When we do things together, we always say thank you. He makes me laugh. He tells me that he loves me. He thanks me when I do things for him. He is patient, and he loves God. I think that's real, real nice. When he is thoughtful. By the way, only the women responded. Guys, what's up? Come on. Come on, come on. My significant other makes me feel loved in so many ways. He holds my hand. He listens to me. He helps me. He reminds us, reminds me that we are a team and that we do this together. We leave each other with random cards and notes or just catch a kiss in the middle of a hectic moment. He knows me. I know him. He makes me feel wanted and needed. Wow. Great, great responses. Thank you all very, very, very much. If you're not on our email list, please email me. Email address is in the bulletin. I send out questions every week related to the sermon, and I love to hear your feedback. Today I'm going to be sharing with you some data and some things, some principles from Dr. John Gottman. Dr. Gottman and his wife Judy, he is the professor emeritus of psychology at the University of Washington. He has over 40 years of marriage therapy experience. Him and his wife, Judy, are the Gottman Relationship Institute founders, and he is the author of over 190 articles on marriage and co-author of over 40 books on marriage. And today I want to share with you just four of seven of the principles that he says will divorce-proof your marriage. Four things that can divorce-proof your marriage, and write these down if you are so inclined. The first thing we need to do is to know our mates. And that is why it's so important that when people are preparing to marry, that they get to know each other. I mean, know them. Know their likes, know their dislikes, know their tastes, know their quirky little things. And even after we're married, it is so important that we know, we intentionally get to know our spouse and know our mates. Knowing helps develop a sensitivity towards each other and each other's needs and the ability to weather life's storms. Knowing your mate. No matter how long you've been married, but it is especially important if we're preparing for marriage or preparing to enter into a relationship with someone. Number two, nurture admiration for your mate. Nurture admiration for your mate. Sit down sometime, guys, ladies, and write down the things that you most admire about your mate. Write down the things that you appreciate, that you love about them, and that you are thankful for. As someone said in the responses, send a card, even if it's through the mail, or just leave it on their dresser or on their computer. Or a post-it note saying, honey, I'm thinking of you, I love you. Those kinds of things go so, so far. You might even want to write your wife, husband, a love letter sometime. We went to a marriage encounter. Anybody ever been on marriage encounter? Okay, marriage encounter. It's a wonderful weekend retreat for couples. And one of the things that you do there is almost all weekend, you're writing letters back and forth. Of course, there's usually 40 or 50 other people there, 10 or 12 other couples doing the same thing and sharing. If you ever are invited to a marriage encounter, do it. It is wonderful. You will really, really be blessed. Number three, turn toward and not away from your mate. Turn toward and not away from your mate. That is, pay attention to them. Not just in conversation, but pay attention to their work schedule. Pay attention to the stress and the anxiety that they may be experiencing. Verbalize, share, talk with each other often. Shut off the TV one or two nights a week. Go on a date night. Pat and I do Friday nights. We try not to book anything for Friday nights and try to just go out for pizza or go out for dinner or just be alone and shut off the phone, shut off the TV, and enjoy time. Turn towards one another. Do small things together is another way of turning toward. Guys, it's okay to go to the grocery store. Men are allowed in the grocery store, okay? I love going to the grocery store, tell you the truth, because I always come out with about 10 more things than I went in there for. But it's good to go shopping with your wife. So pay attention to each other. And guys, this one applies to you probably more than the ladies because it is a statistical fact. Let your mate influence you. Let your mate influence you. Gottman writes, resisting the wife's influence gives an 81% chance the marriage will self-destruct. Let me read that again. Resisting the wife's influence, listening to your wife's advice, letting your wife influence you, gives you an 81% chance the marriage will self-destruct. That is, if you resist that. Gottman is saying, guys, listen to what your wife says. Classic example, yesterday. Had a guy, I don't know if he's here today or not, the Band of Brothers. He swore up and down that it was at 9 o'clock yesterday at Bob Evans' restaurant. And his wife said, no, honey, it's 8 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock. No, 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 it's 9 o'clock. She says, I'm telling you, it's 8 o'clock. He was there at 8 o'clock. She was right. She was right. She had it right. And that's been proven more times than not in my relationship, too, with Pat. Allowing our wife's influence creates a deeper partnership. Guys, you may get labeled as whipped, if you know what I mean. But it's okay. It's okay. You can take that. The relationship is more important than the perception that you're whipped. Sharing the decision making is so critical. Let your mates influence you. Remember, you were created by God as helpers for one another. Equal partners in the relationship. Helpers to one another. Okay. You got those four things? There's three more that I don't have time to go into today. You can check out John Gottman's website. Just type in Google Dr. John Gottman, and there's all kinds of resources there. And there are many others. John Gray, Gary Smalley, all these guys have great, great websites for helping in marriage enrichment. Now, I want to get into some heavy stuff here now because these things can destroy any marriage. I'm only going to talk about three of them. There's a list of about seven or eight. I'm going to talk about three, and all three of them start with the letter A. So you might want to jot these down. The first thing that is so destructive to any marriage is abuse. Abuse. Physical, emotional, verbal. When your spouse is constantly putting you down, when your spouse is criticizing you, when your mate is patronizing you or showing contempt for you, what is up with that? That is not a loving relationship. It does not reflect the love of Jesus Christ and who we are. I want to share with you some statistics on physical abuse, domestic violence, which is a huge, huge problem in our country and around the world. Every 15 seconds, a woman is physically abused. Every 15 seconds. One in four women is involved in a domestic violence incident. Many men suffer with anger management issues, poor self-esteem. They know it's wrong to beat or hit their wives and abuse them, and they have remorse afterwards. But they still do it. They can't control themselves. Marriage is supposed to be taking care of one another, not hitting one another, not physically abusing one another. Abuse is doing the exact opposite of what marriage was intended to do and destroy, and destroys it. Paul says in Ephesians 4:29, don't let any foul words come out of your mouth. Only say what is helpful when it is needed for the building up of the community, and I would add marriage, so that it benefits those who hear what you say. Don't make the Holy Spirit of God unhappy. You were sealed for Him by the day on the day of redemption. Put all bitterness, losing your temper, anger, shouting, slander, along with every other evil, put aside. Be compassionate, kind, and forgiving to each other in the same way God forgave you in Christ. Let me just say that if anybody here is involved in physical abuse, there is help available. there is domestic violence help available out there. Please don't wait another second. Call me tomorrow. Call someone tomorrow. There is plenty of help out there for those who are involved in physical abuse, domestic violence. Okay. Number two, the second A, addictions. Addictions. Alcohol, drugs, gambling, and pornography are the biggies. An overindulgence of anything that controls us is an addiction. Could be alcohol, could be drugs, could be gambling, could be pornography. Listen to these statistics on alcoholism. Over 3 million teens, I said teenagers, between the ages of 14 and 17 in the U.S. are problem drinkers. 14 to 17. I thought you had to be 21 to buy alcohol. They can get it. A lot of adults are supplying alcohol to teens. Nearly 14 million Americans, that is one in every 13 adults, abuse alcohol or are alcoholic. Several million more adults engage in risky drinking patterns that could lead to alcohol problems. In addition, approximately 53% of men and women in the United States report that one or more of their close relatives have a drinking problem. That's a lot of people. Alcoholism is a tremendous problem in our country. Pornography.